Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Boston police are still searching for the killer of 32-year-old Kendrick Price. Over the weekend, the basketball coach and community activist was killed in Dorchester. WBUR's Jerome Campbell sat down with Price's mother and filed this report.
The phone won't stop ringing for Carol Price.
I think that's the same lady. Hello?
It's another person calling to wish her well. They call almost every 5 minutes. And when they can't reach her, they call her mother. They mean well, but she says they take away from her main focus, her son Kendrick's funeral.
And I just have to stay standing, stay vertical, and stay and keep it moving, you know? I can't just sit down and give up. I don't, you know, I just don't do that. I can't do that.
Her focus keeps her going. When she's not planning, she's cleaning. When she's not cleaning, she's planning.
The moment that I'm not busy, that's when I stop breaking down. Like, you know, for instance, this morning, I must have cried nonstop for a good half an hour, and it was kind of scary because it felt like I couldn't stop crying.
She's been running nonstop since Saturday morning when police confirmed that her son Kendrick had been killed. She just saw him late Friday when he had gotten off of work. Kendrick told her he wasn't going out, but then in the middle of the night, a neighbor called her asking where he was because there was a police presence in the neighborhood. Neighbors already knew the victim was tall like her son. She didn't see him in his room. So she walked towards the flashing police lights down the street. She just had a feeling.
And I'm like, you know what? I know that I'm going to find out some information that I don't want to find out. But I had to go. But I know that when I got there, I knew that it wasn't going to be good. I knew it wasn't going to be good.
It wasn't. A murder, the victim, a young man, his identity unknown. She asked the officers to describe what the victim was wearing. Jeans, nice sneakers, and a checkered shirt. Her son's typical attire. Detectives said the victim had been shot in a garage attached to a house, and that they couldn't confirm who the victim was. But she knew.
When they called me with to confirm that it was him, I already knew, but I was hoping that it wasn't going to be him.
Price says the house feels strange without him. They were really close. Most people were taken aback by his towering frame, but he was just a funny kid to her. He used to make random names for her like Melma. She still doesn't know what it means, but it was their thing. Kendrick also had a love of basketball that developed on a court just down the street from his house. Price said he loved it so much that he would occasionally sneak out to play.
If I came looking for him at the basketball court, his friends would actually hide him. They would be like, oh, your mom's coming. And, you know, they'd hide him behind the big dumpster that was up there and all that kind of stuff. Because the thing is when Kendrick left, the ball left. Okay, so nobody was playing ball after when he was getting ready to leave.
He was a standout star at Buckingham Brown and Nichols School in Cambridge. His basketball career eventually led to an athletic scholarship at the University of Michigan. Again, his mom was not far behind.
I would make frequent visits, and he would look at the size of my suitcase and wonder how long was I going to be there. So,
after he graduated, he even played in the NBA D League with the Harlem Wizards. More recently, he served as an assistant coach for basketball teams at UMass Boston and Roxbury Community College. But Price said basketball was not his only talent. He also played the piano.
He attended the Longy School of Music. And his first teacher, Margaret Dolan, she was still in his life today.
Perhaps his most notable gift was his community service. He had started an organization to teach kids business and finance. His inspiration was his childhood friend, Stephen Odom, who was killed when he was 13, also by gunfire. Price said she had comforted the boy's parents when their son died. Sadly now, they had a chance to return the kindness.
Ronnie Odom came over and embraced me yesterday. They knew what I was going through, and now I knew what they went through.
Eventually, the ringing grew too much for Price, and she had to leave. She fretted over setting an ideal date for the funeral so everybody could come. She said funeral planning isn't something she's unfamiliar with.
Lost a lot of people in my life now, brothers and sisters. This is the toughest one, you know? Yeah, this is the toughest one.
For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Jerome Campbell.